25. As he unzipped his leather binder, Webster Foote managed to let a roll of papers bounce out and onto the floor. He bent forward to retrieve them and, in that moment, saw his chance and made use of it. As with his left hand he snatched back the decoy, the rolled-up blank documents, with his right he placed within the cushions of the couch on which he sat, a deliberately selected spot, an Audvid transmitting monitor. It would not merely perceive and store data. It would instantaneously transmit all it picked up to a footman at the nearest tracking substation. To Foote, the harassed Yanchman Joseph Adams said, "You fed the clue data to the Moscow computer, and it popped Bros's card. So in your mind, Bros is innocent because the clues are spurious, laid down by a Gestaltmacher. Someone hostile to both Lindblom and Bros did it." Eyeing him, wondering how he knew this, Foote said, "This is true," Adams said hoarsely. "I know because I fed the alpha wave pattern to Megavac 6V myself and got the same card. But David Lantano," he jerked his head toward the dark young Yance man, "he points out that Bros could have programmed the marker, knowing it'd be caught, and you did catch it." "Well," Foote said warily, "we have an object, but we haven't yet got into it. The thing resists entry. We assume it's a cammed stage of a German-made wartime device. Yes, that's so." He saw no reason to deny it at this point. However, since Joseph Adams and David Lantano knew this, it now, of course, would have to be told Bros. And as soon as possible, Foote realized, Bros must get it from me and not them. So I had better get out of here as soon as I can manage it, back into my flapple where I'll have access to vid transmission by satellite relay to Geneva. Because if Bros learns the news from them and not from me, my reputation will suffer permanent impairment. I can't afford this. He felt nettled, aggrieved. "Do you mean," he said to himself, "that I fell for a cover, or more accurately, a double cover? The crime was committed by that portable TV receiver, so-called, so appearing, but Bros really dispatched it, set it up to delineate himself? And to think that I never, even with my extrasensory ability, happened onto that idea." "It's this Lantano," he realized. "The idea is his. Inspired. The man is dangerously so, dangerously gifted." In his ear, a receiver speaker, grafted subdermal so as to be invisible, piped, "We're picking up the odd vid signals clearly, Mr. F. It's extremely well placed. We'll get everything in that one room from now on." Reflexively, still deep in thought, Foote unrolled his military maps, which showed ordnance dispositions of essential military stores. These had been top secret. Classified, the old Argot had been. Made available to him originally by General Holt via the agency. For purposes of a former job he had performed for Bros, the actual maps had been returned. These were Xeroxed copies. He studied them now, perfunctorily, prepared to begin the tedious cover discussion with Lantano. And then, without warning, summarily, his extrasensory faculty bumped him jarringly, flooded his mind with intimation, and he scanned closely, keenly, the top map. It showed an area near the Atlantic coast of North Carolina. Three U.S. Army weapons arsenals were indicated, subsurface stores which had long ago been excavated by Bros's leadys and everything of value removed. This was so indicated by check markers on the map. But the distribution of the arsenals indicated that they had been set up to supply highly mobile armored tactical surface units, probably engaged, or it had been so anticipated, in handling Soviet leadys landed by the giant troop carrier USSR transoceanic subs of the 1990s. And a quadripartite division of such arsenals had been common in those days. Three of weapons, fuel, and repair parts for the heavy U.S. Rexoroid-shielded tanks capable of surviving a direct hit by a ground-to-ground Ahead missile. These were the three that had been dug up. But no fourth subsurface depot was indicated, and yet it should have existed 50 miles or so in the rear. That would have contained the medical supplies, if any had been provided for the personnel of the highly mobile mechanized defensive units, drawing on the three weapons arsenals closer to the coastline. With a pencil, he drew lines connecting the three indicated arsenals. Then, with the edge of a book plucked from a nearby table, He measured off a line which ended at the hypothetical locus, which would transform the visible triangle into a square. In 5 hours, Foote realized, I can have a work detail of Letty's digging at that spot. They can sink a shaft, and in 15 minutes determine if a fourth depot, that of medical hospital emergency equipment, exists there. The chances are, he calculated, about 40% favorable. But Diggs had been essayed on far slimmer evidence in the past, and by his corporation. Some paid off, some did not. But it would be of incalculable value if he were to locate a store of artiforges. Even a few, three or four, even that meager handful, would break Brose's monopoly. At this spot, he said to Lantano, who had come over and seated himself beside him, I plan to dig. You can see why. He indicated the three depots already excavated, then the lines he had drawn. My psionic hunch, he said, tells me, water witch-wise, that we will strike an undisclosed U.S. Army medical store here. And perhaps luck will be with us, artificial pancreas-wise. Joseph Adams said, I'll go. Obviously, he had given up. He signaled to his retinue of leadys. They and the four footmen assigned to guard him began to collect around him, and together the group of them all shuffled toward the door, an ensemble of defeat. Wait, Lantano said. At the door, Adams waited, his unhappy face still contorted, the suffering and confusion, pain at his friend's death, uncertainty as to who was responsible, what he himself ought to do. All was mingled, blended. Lantano said, Would you kill Stanton Brose? Staring at him, Adams said, His stare became blind, horrified. There was silence then. You can't escape him, Adams. Probably not even by descending into an ant tank. Not even by that. Because Brose's polcoms are there waiting. If you went down into that tank with Nick, with their polcom there acting for Brose, who probably knows the exact conditions up here... Lantano broke off. It was not necessary to say it. You'll have to decide for yourself, Adams, Lantano said then. It can be for any motive you care to assign yourself. Revenge for Lindblom's death. Fear as regards your own life. For humanity itself. Take your choice. All three, if that appeals to you. But you do have the opportunity to see Brose. You could conceivably take him out, although the chance, frankly, would be slim. However, it's a real chance. And look at your situation now. Look at your fear. And it will get worse, Adams. I predict that, and I think Mr. Foote here would predict the same. I don't know, Adams muttered at last. Morally, Lantano said, it would be right. I am sure of that. Mr. Foote knows that. Nick here knows that. Already. You know it too, Adams, don't you? He waited. Adams did not answer. To Foote, Lantano said, He knows it. He's one of the few Yansmen who does, who faces it, especially now, after Lindblom's death. Kill him with what? Adams said then. Lantano said, regarding Foote's military map intently, I'll supply you with the weapon. Leave that part to me. I think we've arrived at the crux here. He put his forefinger on the spot, which Foote had indicated on the military map. Go ahead and dig. I'll pay the costs. Once more he turned to Adams, who stood at the door, entirely surrounded by his leadys and footmen escort. Brose has to be killed. It's only a matter of time. And by whom? And through what technical construct? To Foote he said, What weapon would you recommend? Adams will encounter Brose at the agency sometime later this week, in his own office. Adams' office. So he need not carry it on him. It can be in the office, cammed in place. He need only have the triggering mechanism on him or auto-arranged in advance. Extraordinary, Foote thought. Is this what I came here for? It was supposedly a pretext, my visit here, to plant a monitoring device by which I could learn more about David Lantano. But instead, I have been drawn into, or anyhow invited to enter, a conspiracy to kill the most powerful human being in the world, and the man with the greatest repertory of advanced weapons at his disposal. The man, Foote realized, we all really terribly fear. and this conversation, due to the Audvid bug he had planted in the couch, was being monitored. And by an incredible, maddening irony, by his own technicians, by his own corporation's experts, at the local tracking substation, and then at the London office itself. Too late now to shut it off. The data, the important message, had been sent out already. And, of course, somewhere in the corporation, Webster Foote Limited, Brose had his agents. Eventually, although not perhaps right away, the news of this conversation, in utter and complete bona fide detail, would arrive through channels at Geneva. And every man in this room, Foote realized, will be killed. Even if I say no, even if both Adams and I say no, that will not be enough. Because the old man, Stanton Brose, will not dare to take the chance. We will have to be dispatched, just in case, to ensure his absolute self-protection. Aloud, Foote said, "You have Brose's alpha wave pattern in the wall monitor at Lindblom's domain, and you have access to it." He spoke now to Adams. "Tropism," Lantano said, and nodded. "Since Lindblom's leadys recognize you as the deceased's closest friend," Foote hesitated, and then he said numbly, "I therefore recommend, yes, the alpha wave pattern is the tropism, a conventional homeostatic high-velocity cyanide dart, set to release from some recess in your agency office the moment its dispatching mechanism receives and records that idiosyncratic alpha wave pattern is present." There was silence. "Could it be set up tonight?" Lantano asked Foote. "It takes only a few minutes to install the barn for such a dart," Foote said, "and to program the dispatching mechanism within the barn housing, and to load the barn with the dart itself." Adams said, "Do you have such hardware?" He spoke to Foote. "No," Foote said, which was the truth. Unfortunately, he could not come through. "I have," Lantano said. Foote said, "There are hundreds of those wartime cyanide homeostatic high-velocity darts left over from the days when the Communist International Assassins were in business, and literally thousands of the low-velocity ones that could be corrected after release, such as that which killed Vern Lindblom. But they're old. They exist, but they can't be relied on. Too many years of..." "I said," Lantano said, "that I have one. The complete assembly. Dart, barn, housing, dispatching mechanism. And in mint condition." "Then," Foote said, "you must also have access to time travel equipment. This hardware you speak of, it must come directly from 15 to 20 years ago." Presently, Lantano nodded. "I do." He clenched his hands together violently. "But I don't know how to set up the assembly. The wartime and pre-war CP assassins who used those were specially trained. But I think with your general knowledge of the field..." He glanced at Foote. "You could. Will you?" "Tonight?" Foote said. "Brose," Lantano said, "we'll visit Adams' office possibly as early as tomorrow. If it's installed tonight, Brose could be dead within the next 12 to 24 hours. The alternative, of course, needless to say, is death for each and every human being in this room. Because within the next 48 hours... news of this discussion will be in Brose's hands." He added, "Due to some monitoring device, Foote, which you yourself brought. I don't know what it is, where it is, when and how you installed it, but I know it's in the room, and functioning." "True," Foote said at last. "So we have to continue," Adams spoke up. "Tonight, as he says." "All right. I'll fly to Lindblom's domain and get the alpha wave pattern back. I returned it to the Type 6 Chief Leady there." He hesitated, suddenly realizing something. "The Gestaltmacher possessed that pattern. How did he get it? The person who programmed it had the pattern. Only Brose would have the pattern. So I guess you are right, Lantano. It had to be Brose who fed the data to the machine." "Did you think," Lantano said quietly, "that perhaps I dispatched that machine to kill your friend?" Adams hesitated. "I don't know. Someone did, that's all I knew. Except that I got that card popped. It seemed to me..." I think you did, Foote said. Glancing at him, Lantano smiled. It was not the smile of a young man. It had in it ancient, wild craft, an elliptic, untamed wisdom which could afford to be gentle, could be tolerant, because it had seen so much. You're an American Indian, Foote said, all at once understanding. From the past, who somehow in the past got hold of one of our modern-day time-travel devices. How did you get it, Lantano? Did Bros send a scoop back to your era? Is that it? After a time, Lantano said, The artifacts that Lindblom made. He utilized the ingredients of the original advanced prototype of the wartime weapon based on that principle. A geologist made an error. Some of the artifacts appeared not subsurface, but on the ground in plain sight. I came along. I was leading a war party. You would not have recognized me then. I was dressed differently, and all painted. The ex-tanker, Nicholas St. James, said, Cherokee. Yes, Lantano nodded. By your reckoning, 15th century. So I've had a long time to prepare for this. Prepare for what? Foote said. Lantano said, You know who I am, Foote, or rather who I've been in the past, in 1982 to be specific, and who I will be shortly. Your men are going over the documentaries. I'll save you some long and difficult research. You will find me in episode 19 of Version A, briefly. And whom, Foote said levelly, do you portray? General Dwight David Eisenhower. In that spurious, utterly faked scene contrived by Gottlieb Fischer, in which Churchill, Roosevelt, or rather the actors impersonating them for Fischer's didactic purposes, confer with Eisenhower, and the decision is reached as to exactly how long they can stall the invasion of the continent. D-Day, it was called. I read a very interesting phony line. I will never forget it. I remember that, Nicholas said suddenly. They turned toward him, all of them. You said, Nicholas said, I think the weather is sufficiently rough to hamper the landings and so account for our failure to establish our beachheads successfully. Fisher had you say that. Yes, Lantano nodded. That was the line. However, the landings were successful, because as Version B shows, in an equally inspired, spurious scene for pack peep consumption, Hitler deliberately held back two panzer divisions in the Normandy area so that the invasion would succeed. No one said anything for a time. Well, the death of Bros, Nicholas said, mean the end of the era which began with those two documentaries? He addressed Lantano. You say you have access to... The death of Bros, Lantano said firmly, will inaugurate the moment in which we, plus the Recon Disin Council, with whom I have already discussed this matter, will, in conjunction with Louis Runcible, who is essential in this, decide exactly what to tell the millions of underground dwellers. So they'll come up, Nicholas said. If we want that, Lantano said. Hell, Nicholas protested. Of course we want that. It's the whole point, isn't it? He looked from Lantano to Adams, then to Foote. Foote said, I think so. I agree. And Runcible would agree. But only one man, Lantano said, speaks to the tankers, and that man is Talbot Yancey. What will he decide to do? Adams, sputtering, said, There is no Tal... But there is, Foote said. To Lantano he said, What will Talbot Yancey decide to do? I believe you can authoritatively answer, he said to himself, because you know, and I know why you know, and you realize this. We are no longer in the quagmire of fakes now. This is real. What you are, what I am aware of, due to the photographic records taken by my satellite. After a pause, Lantano said thoughtfully, Talbot Yancey will announce in the near future, if all goes well, that the war has terminated, but that the surface is still radioactive. So the ant tanks must be emptied on a gradual basis, on strict allocation, step by step. And this is true, Nicholas said. They really will be brought up gradually? Or is this just another... Looking at his watch, Lantano said, We have to get busy. Adams, you get the alpha wave pattern from Pennsylvania. I'll bring the assembly that comprises the terminal weapon we've decided on. Foot, you come with me. We'll meet Adams at his office in the agency, and you can install the weapon, program it, have it ready for tomorrow. He rose, then moved agilely toward the door. What about me? Nicholas asked. Lantano picked up Foot's military map, carried it to Nicholas, presented him with it. My leadys are at your disposal, and an express flapple that'll get you and 9 or 10 leadys to North Carolina. This is the spot for them to excavate. And good luck, Lantano said tersely. Because from now on, you're on Homeo, on your own. Tonight, we have other matters to take care of. Foot said, I wish we didn't have to rush into this. I wish we could discuss it further. He felt fear. Precog, extrasensory, as well as the ordinary instinctive fear. If only we had more time, he said. To him, Lantano said, Do you think we have? No, Foot said.